Kippur almost, Shin Ayin. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to build on what we spoke about last week. We explained the concept that Midas Hadin precedes Midas Rachamim. And the example we used is the example of the greatest tzedakah is, of course, allowing someone to be independent and take a job where they earn their salary legitimately and nothing is a handout and no one is a taker and nobody is, asking for a free gift, which is a devastating experience. And this is true spiritually, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardwired this into our way of thinking, that even here in this world, we viscerally understand the embarrassment, the pain, the lack of cover, the lack of appreciation that we have when we get a free gift, when we're dependent on someone and take care of ourselves and earn our own, or do things for ourselves and make our own, set our own course. Somebody else has to give everything to us, and nobody likes that. And this we described is the principle of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah mitzvah, so we should earn schar. And that schar that we earn should be that something that is coming to us bedin, that we deserve it because we served Hashem correctly. And therefore Hashem gives us schar. And we've spent time in this class discussing schar and reading the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva, the concept of the future world, das, reunion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of this being related to the idea of schar. But if we said that if somebody is not capable of taking a job because they don't have any of the skills, they're not at the level where they can keep the job. They don't even know how to do the job. You offer someone a job in your computer company, but it's not only computers. They don't have food, and they don't have clothing, and they don't know how to read, and they don't know how to write, and they don't know how to get along with their peers, and they get jealous, and they get angry, and they have outbursts because people are getting more honor than them and getting more paid more than them, and they just have no idea how to. They're still not yet ready to be a part, to be a player and to take the job. So the greatest chesed of all, we said, is giving someone the education, the experience, the opportunities, the tools that they need to prepare them for doing the job. And that's chesed, and we explain that's the first Rashi. That first Hashem intended the world to be a world of din. That's where you earn your schar legitimately. And then he saw that this is an impossibility. He gave us the Yetzer Hara. We have all kinds of our own agendas, all kinds of our own desires. Our body wants this and that. And we're not ready to be mevatel ourselves, totally subdue, sublimate our own self and our own individuality. Sense of I am everything I want, and what I perceive to be right and what I experience is the end all and be all. We're so not ready. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, besides for the sun and rain and crops and health and children and brains and a body and food and all of that, he gives us training, all kinds of training, and he gave Klal Yisrael training in terms of the Makos and Mitzrayim, and then the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the Yam, and the Neman, and the Nevuah, and the Nisim, all kinds of training to get us ready to say Naaseh V'Nishma. And when we said Naaseh V'Nishma, what we said was, we will take the job no matter what it entails. And when you take a job, you do the job correctly, and you sign the contract. So if we fail and we start slacking off, then there's repercussions. And we accepted that too, because we want to, in our deepest heart of hearts, do the job. So if we start slacking, we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to pull us back in, to tighten the screws a little bit and remind us that we're getting off track. That's a good thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with us and said, because you signed on through thick or thin, not even knowing what would come down the pike in, through all of history and all the things that I would require of you and how happy to do the job, but also how challenging it would be sometimes to live on a much higher standard, to aspire to much higher madrigas, to be judged more severely, to be expected to accomplish more subtle ways. Speech and action, everything matters. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with us, never ever to exchange or abandon Klal Yisrael, to make sure we get to the final destination, which is where we are the vehicle to bring Kavod Shemayim to this world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu start, the concept is din, to get to a point where we really deserve our schar. In order to get there, Hashem introduces rachamim, all of the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us being in practical things, tangible things, and also in opportunities, situations, experiences, challenges. Those are all part of preparing each person to do the job that they can personally do. And we established that idea that Rosh Hashanah is the din, the remembrance of the din, and Yom Kippur is the forgiveness for all the times that we took all those gifts and all those opportunities and we squandered them and we used them only to entertain ourselves or for our own selves, for our own agenda, and we forgot that they were here to prepare us to be a better, more consistent, more Lashem Shemayim Jew. And that's as long as we understand that that was our mistake, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives us. And the biggest tshuva of all the tshuvas is not really on every individual mistake we made. Those are just the ramifications, the symptoms of the main problem, which is we're not aware on a moment-by-moment basis that everything is one and one thing only to get us more in tune, more consistently, constantly, driven towards that everything we do and everything, every situation is an opportunity somehow or another for Kavod Shemayim, how we act when we restrain ourselves. And the best way to serve Hashem is through the only way is through Torah and mitzvahs, and the more meticulousness in mitzvahs and the more we see ourselves as a vehicle and the mitzvahs helping us become more perfected, that's the real sin, losing sight of that. And then everything else is just an automatic repercussion. So we're going to see here now that this took place, this transition from din to chesed didn't just take place in Briyas HaOlam, but you're going to see that in the recreation of the purpose of the world, that's the creation of Klal Yisrael on Har Sinai, you go through the exact transition. First there's din, and then there's chesed. And you see that what we're going to do is we're going to compare the first luchos, which we're going to see are a bris of din, and then the failure of the Egel, and then the 13 Midas Harachamim, which form another bris, a bris of chesed, that also really, just demonstrate the same continuum. That the din is the objective, the reality demands chesed, but ultimately to get to a state where people can live more bedin and not with a constant, utter dependence on chesed, but really are worthy at a certain point to be judged for the perfection of their actions and not constantly rely on I'm sorry, goofed again, forgot again, but eventually get to a point where a person can actually do thought, speech, and action sincerely, with details correctly, and it's hard for that. It's important to see that on Yom Kippur, the theme of Yom Kippur really is the 13 Midas Harachamim. And the theme of Yom Kippur is Rachmanus, and forgiving and forgetting and pardoning all the times we were very, very important. The word pesha, as opposed to the chet or avon, pesha specifically means utilizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gifts for the wrong reason. That is a pesha. That is a posheya. And that's the main sin, really. It leads to everything else. I want to see that on Yom Kippur we ask for forgiveness for the Chet HaEgel. The Chet HaEgel is what came between the Seres HaDibros and the 13 Midas Rachamim. They necessitated the 13 Midas Rachamim. That's what we mean when we say Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham, Machanan, that we call out again. And Yom Kippur, they didn't arise in a vacuum. It wasn't just Moshe said, teach me, Hareini Na Derachecha, teach me your ways because I'm curious. We're going to see that it was Moshe's constant attempts to get slicha for the Egel that brought Moshe to the point of asking for the 13 Midas Harachamim. So, on Yom Kippur, we are constantly making subtle references to the Chet HaEgel. First of all, Ein Kateger Nase Sanegar, a prosecutor doesn't become a defense attorney. Egel was gold. And there was no gold on the Kohen Gadol when he went Lefnayu Lefnim into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Otherwise, there was gold in his garments. Also, when in the Avodah section of Musaf, when we stop and we go through the Seder of the Avodah, and here and there we stop and we go through three vidoys that the Kohen Gadol made, the terminology of the vidoy is the following. Kachay Omer, this is what he used to say. Ana Tasi. A chet is a sin done by accident. You misunderstood. You missed the mark. You were trying to get somewhere. You got to the wrong place. You missed the target. And an ovon is more on purpose. You knew it was right, and you just weren't in. You just didn't matter. You threw off precusol, throwing off the yolk. You took what was supposed to be used correctly and misused it. That ana Hashem comes from two places in the Chumash. Great sins. One ben adam lemakom, one ben adam lechavero. By the Egel in Shmos Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Write that down. Shmos Lamed Beis, Lamed Aleph. You can put in your machzor. Moshe says after the sin of the Egel, Ana chata ha'am chet gedola. The nation did a great chet. He used the word chet because there were two aspects to the chet ha'egel. There was the intellectual mistake of trying to create a tangible representation of God so that we could have something to relate to. That's an intellectual error, not understanding that that in itself is a violation of the of Hashem, strictly in an abstract sense. It's very difficult, something tangible. It's a mistake. It's a chet. The word ana shows up again in Vayechi, at the end of the last few psukim of Vayechi, when the brothers who sold Yosef beg him after their father died not to now take revenge, and they say, and listen to the words, ana sona pesha achecha. Please bear the pesha. We misused. You were here as our savior, actually, to pray for us, to lead to the, there was going to be a galus. Hashem sent you down here. Now we understand to prepare for us. He took you, and what do we do with you? We misuse you. That's a pesha. That's a pesha. Kadosh Baruch Hu sent a gift, and we didn't know what to do with it. And they say, Ana sana pesha achecha. Please bear this pesha. And that's a ben adam lechavero sin. And the source of all, the essence, the shore of all ben adam lechavero sins. And that he actually recalled by the tragic, horrible story of the Malchus, which are and brothers' sin. So you see, Chayda Ego comes up in Adam Lamakom. Comes up in Adam Lechavero. Both are the words are Ana, please, please, we beg. Both are what the Kohen Gadol refers to. And the bracha of Kedusha over and over and over, where we sanctify the day, we say, V'tachar benu la'avdecha be'emes, purify our hearts, serve you truly, ki ata u'machalan l'shivte yeshurin. Slicha to Yisrael, that's a chet ha'egel. That's an intellectual mistake. That's a the mark. And chila to the shvatim, that's a pesha. That's, you just totally appreciated, didn't understand what it was here for. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for chila and slicha. Both of these sins figure greatly on Yom Kippur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does give Klal Yisrael slicha for the egel. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us Slicham ben Adam Lechavero, rather, ben Adam Lamakom. However, ben Adam Lechavero is, Kadosh Baruch Hu does nothing for us unless we first ask Mechila from the person that we get. Kippur Rambam says in Hilchos Teshuvah has no effect on ben Adam Lechavero unless we first do what we have to do, you know, between ourselves. So first of all, these two sins are, the 13 Midas HaRachamim aid in achieving Slicha for ben adam lechavero and ben adam lemakom if we've done our job first. Now, at the same time, we want to go back into Chet HaEgel and see the dynamics here that brought about the 13 Midas HaRachamim. Okay? So what you have first is that you have the sin itself. I'm sorry, let's start with the Aseres HaDibros. Go to Perek Chaf, and here's where we're going to do our chart. We said that Perek Chaf is the Aseres HaDibros here, Pasuk Hey, in the second Dibra. Here is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes his midos, so to speak, his character traits, his behavior with the world. This is going to be a parallel, we're going to see, to that Rashi that really Midas Adin was the operative Midah. It was really the attempt, the desire, you might say, the goal that people should serve Hashem perfectly and earn schar according to their achievement. And nothing is a free gift, and nothing is namad de chasuf, a bread of embarrassment, as it's called. So here HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets up with Klal Yisrael the conditions of the bris. And no, make no mistake about it, this is a bris, as we will see. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and lo yelech Elohim Acherim. Now, Anochi is the, we've spoken about this, Anochi, it is meant to shatter every other assumption that there is an Anochi other than Anochi Hashem Elokecha, to break through the hardest gate of Tumah, which is the sense of self, the I, and make everyone realize that Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim, don't have any other guys, and then the gods, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Lo Sasa Lecha Pesel V'chol Tumuna, don't make yourself a Pesel and Chol Tumuna, right? No image of God. Why no Pesel and no Tumuna? Because we've already been told that the human being himself is a Tzelem Elokim. You don't need something else to give you a representation of God and to devote yourself to. The greatest Tzelem is a Tzelem Elokim in every human being. And when a person feels the Tzelem Elokim in them, they will abhor any other outside force as the source of their security or worthy of devotion. They feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in them, then lo yelech Elohim Acherim, they'll never turn to anything else. So the first dibra is Anochi, and in this first dibra is incorporated every mitzvah's aseh, everything we feel and how we express ourselves and how we reach out and tangibly act to demonstrate our awareness of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Lo Yelecha incorporates every mitzvah's lo sase, all the gevura, all the restraint, all we hold back from the tendency to devote ourselves to something else in the place of God. That incorporates all of that chesed ava and yira, ase and lo sase are incorporated. Everything else is just a derivative of these two divras. That's why we heard them directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As Moshe himself, Rambam says, heard them, we heard them the same way. Now, in the second divra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, lo yelech Elohim Acherim. And then he starts describing himself. So now you're going to write a chart. On the first side, write dibros on top and write. And here's Hashem's description of himself. Ki anochi Hashem Elokecha. Midas harachamim, midas hadin. Okay, rachamim and din. Rachamim prior to the sin, when you're in the state of nasa v'nishma, but Elokim, midas hadin, zero tolerance after the sin. Remember we said about din? Again, din is synonymous with MS. You want to say 2 plus 2 is 4.0001. Teacher wants to be nice and say, okay, you didn't fail the test. But if you try to build a building with that, the building will fall down. It's MS is din. There's only one right answer. There's zero tolerance. There's utter destruction if there's the slightest deviation. So Hashem before, but Elokim after. Then, Kelkana, a jealous God, a kanai, zealous, no tolerance. The moment that the zealous person sees an infraction, they act to the extreme, right? Kelkana. Next line. Poked avon avos al banim al shleshim v'al reveim lesonai. I will punish, I will visit the sins of the fathers onto the children for the third and the fourth generation, the second, third, and fourth, and I will consider those that keep up the sins of their fathers, that uphold the sins of their fathers, Lisonai as those that hate me. I'll treat them as those that hate me, my enemies. So I will punish them because the cumulative effect of a sin is not 1 plus 1 is 2. It's exponential. 2 times 2 and then another times 2 and another times 2. And before you blink, it's a million. It's a much greater destruction, and it's much more dangerous when the sin is compounded generation to generation. So I will consider those people my enemies. Next. Ose chesed la'alafim. There's a caveat here. I will do chesed for 1,000 generations, but only to who? Ohavai, those that I consider my love, the ones that love me. Ulashomrei mitzvosai, and those that keep my mitzvos. But not for everyone. It's not a free-for-all. Nobody's getting chesed if they don't keep the mitzvos. and consider someone that is in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you're in love with someone, whatever what they want matters most, and you think about it all the time, and you're reaching out further and further, and every little thing to please the person. Yeah, that's a big madrega to be considered someone who loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just someone who obeys HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So only the best get chesed. Then in the next dibra, lo sisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha lashav, ki lo yinakeh, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not cleanse. He will not pardon a person. So that's number, ki lo yinakeh Hashem, es asher yisa Hashmo, but just ki lo yinakeh, Hashem will not pardon a person who betrays the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. In addition to that, if you flip to Mishpatim quickly, I didn't tell you to find it first, but Perek Chaf Gimel, here HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them that he is going, this is before, by the way, after this in Perek Chaf Dalet, we're going to see events that, there's a machlokas, some say right before Har Sinai, right after Har Sinai, but events surrounding Har Sinai where Moshe, where we're told the story of Moshe offering karbanos and sprinkling the blood on Klal Yisrael, and the and making a bris with Klal Yisrael on Nasa v'Nishma. It's in Mishpatim. In the next parak, we're going to see Nasa v'Nishma, not before. So here, right before that, Hashem says to Moshe, and this is very important, Hinei Anochi Shaleach Malach Lefanecha Lishmorcha Baderech, I'm going to send a Malach to watch you and protect you on the way to Eretz Yisrael, Lahaviyacha El Amakom Asher Hachinosi, to bring you to the place I prepared. Now, Hishomer Mipanov, be very careful before him, v'shma b'kolo, and listen to the malach, al tamirbo, don't rebel. Here's the next mid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for your chart, ki lo yisa l'pishachem. He will not bear your pesha, your misuse of the gifts that he gives. Ki lo yisa, he will not bear. It's another midah. And Hashem explains, kishmi, kishmi b'kirbo, because my name is in the midst of this malach. I'm right there with the malach. Now, if you flip to Perek Chaf Dalet, Pasuk Zayin, 24:7, Moshe, that morning it tells us, he wrote all these things, he sent the youth, they gave karbanos, he took half the dam that he had shefted the animals, he sprinkled it, Vayikach Sefer HaBris, he took the Sefer HaBris, Rashi says everything from the beginning till now, some say just these events of Har Sinai. He took the Sefer HaBris, it's called a bris, Vayikra V'aznei Ha'am, and he read it, Vayomru Kol Asher Dibar Hashem Nase V'Nishma. Here's where they say it. Everything Hashem said is Nase V'Nishma. So they just said Nase V'Nishma on all these mitzvos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, on all the strict demands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they said, whatever it is, if that's what the job demands, we want to do the job, we want to be the Or L'Goyim, we want to be the Am Segula. We understand that this bris, though, is conditional. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it very clear that it's conditional. If you follow my ways, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises all the brachos in the world, as we've heard, and that he will never, ever exchange us, never, never abandon us, bring us to, we will be the vehicle to bring the world to its fruition with Hashem by our side, always protect us, do nisim for us, be by our side. But he will not tolerate any deviation, and if they do deviate, he's not bound anymore by his side. This is a conditional bris. Okay? Now, on this conditional bris, we see in Parshas Kisisa that problems happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe went up to the mountain, and they made an eagle. Now, the eagle established is a mistake. It's a chet, a chata. It's an error in judgment. It's an error in judgment. However, that error in judgment led to a degeneration of a small group of people. First, it started out as a mistake intellectually, and then the lowest among the nation, the Erevav, began to degenerate into their old ways, and it says that a nation was mitzachek, letzachek, they were involved in zunus, and whatever became a wild party, and that was already out of bounds. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to destroy this nation, what ends up happening is those that danced and had and were involved in the party were killed. Everybody else, Moshe then begs Rachmanis for, because it was an intellectual error. Okay? The 3,000 only people were killed out of the entire Am at the Chet HaEgel, because their ways were obviously so ingrained in them. It was such a disconnect. It was so foreign. It was such a dangerous influence. They were eliminated. Now, the rest of the nation made, as we said, they violated the second Dibra. And it's a very hard thing to achieve, the second Dibra. And Moshe asked for Anachata Ha'am Chet Gedola. This, you know, it was a mistake. And here HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, fine, I will not wipe them all out. But it's not so simple. Even though it was an intellectual mistake, it was a gross error. It was terrible. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already established in the second Dibra that there was zero tolerance. So he says to Moshe here in Perek Lamed Gimel, he says, look, I am going to destroy all of them, and I'm going to make a new nation through you, right? What does Moshe respond to that? Absolutely out of the question. I will not tolerate it. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, but I already established, you might say, that I cannot coexist among Klal Yisrael, Bikirbo, in their midst. There can't be the Shekhinah and Avodah Zarah at the same time. There's Echad, it's just one. If their hearts are drawn to something less than that, or in the lack of an understanding of the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then there's no room for that in the arrangement I made with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says to, made with Hashem, so he says to, with, he made with Klal Yisrael, so he says to Moshe, in Perek Lamed Gimel. Okay, now you would think that this is good news, and we're going to see Klal Yisrael do not respond to this as good news. But Yidabar Shem Moshe, he says, fine, I won't kill them all out. Lech ale mizeh ata v'ha'am asher halisa min me'eretz Mitzrayim. Go, get up out of this desert, you and your nation, and take them el eretz asher nishbati la'avram liyitzchak liyakov, to the land I promised, saying lezaracha etznena, I will give it to your descendants. V'shalachti lefanecha malach. Sounds similar, and I'll send the malach, and I'll kick out the Kanani and the Chiti, etc. And I'll bring them to the land Eretz Vaschalav Adavash, etc. Kilo ella bekirbacha. Now that's the change. But I won't go bekirbacha. Unlike before, when he said that my malach will have me, my name bekirbo. Now I will not be there. Kiam kshe oref. Ata, they are stiff-necked people, and I will destroy them on the way before they even get to Eretz Yisrael. Vayishma ha'amas adavar hara hazev yisablu. And they began to mourn, like when somebody dies. Now wait, this is good news, no? Moshe achieved that Hashem will not destroy them all. He'll take them to Eretz Yisrael. He won't even be in the midst of the Malach because it's too much din. Then they won't even get to Eretz Yisrael. So the Malach will be able to get them there safely, and they'll survive. What's the Avelus? The Avelus here, and this is from Rav Menachem Leibtag, this whole basic idea. The Avelus here is that Klal Yisrael understood that what was happening here was that the bris of Har Sinai, of Nasa v'Nishma, the conditional bris of perfection, of Midas HaDin, was shattered. Kadosh Baruch Hu was no longer bound to the bris. Klal Yisrael were no longer his nation. They understood that what happened here was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was abandoning them. But there was a problem. Hashem had made a bris with the Avos. Lezarecha eten es ha'eretz hazos. Ha'aretz hazos. I'm going to give your children this land, and that's Klal Yisrael. So what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu supposed to do with that bris? So here what's happening is HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, all that's left for me is to bring you to Eretz Yisrael, to fulfill the bris I made to the Avos, and then I'm putter. And you can live your life there like every other nation and be a victim of circumstance, and there's no Siyata Deshmaya, and I'm not your God, and I'm not going to protect you, and you'll die out there eventually, like every ancient nation basically dies out or eventually evolves into something else. But I'm putter. And I'm not going with you because you're a stiff-necked people. Now, the stiff-necked people, very interesting, just to give that mushel of stiff-necked. I have learned from this book, The Long Shorter Way by Dean Steinsaltz, Rav Dean Steinsaltz. It's his discourses on the Tanya, pieces from his various lectures. And he says, as we know, and he brings everything from Tanya and from other Sfarim, there is no straight channel between mind and heart. There are any number of pressure points which greatly influence the proper flow of thoughts, feelings, and actions. In particular, the narrow passage of the throat, which altogether is so decisive in the circuit of human energy, is connected with the emotions and lusts of the body. Thus, a person can reach a very high level of truly understanding the greatness and goodness of Hashem, but it can remain theoretical. The understanding may not be able to get through the narrow passage in order to affect the rest of the person. And this block will be a constant threat to health and well-being. So maybe when Moshe talks about the stiff neck, it's the inability of the ideas that they are aware of to penetrate to the gut rut zone that we've spoken about and create a unity between them. So they're stiff necked. So Kadosh Baruch Hu demands the machshava to be perfect, the understanding to be perfect, and it to completely affect the rut zone, the desire, the gut person. So their behavior and their emotions are all in line. So Bnei Yisrael start to mourn here. They understand the bris is over, further proof. They yisnatzlu, Bnei Yisrael's edyam, they took off their ornaments. We've spoken about this, that they got when they said nasa v'nishma, whatever those ornaments were, that proved that they were chosen. The kala, it's like the kala taking off the jewelry. And then Moshe took the ohel and put it michutz l'machaneh. The ohel moed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to appear to him and speak to him through, he moved it out of the camp. And we know they lost the Anane HaKavod. And the Luchos were shattered. So wait a second. Yisrael v'oraisa v'kutcha brichu chadhu. Yisrael and the Torah and Hashem. No, there's no, that's a chut ha-mashulash. That's a strong three-ply cord. But the whole thing is unraveled. There's no Yisrael because he said, I don't want this nation. They're not my nation. I'll start a new nation. I'll bring them to Israel and I'll deposit them there. I'm putter. There's no oraisa. The Luchos are shattered. There's no kutcha brichu. Because he moved, the Anane HaKavod were removed, and he took the tent of Ohel Moed out of the camp. It's all over. That's why Moshe says, no, I'm not taking them out of the Midbar. And now you are stuck because you can't leave them here because you made a promise to the Avos. So really what's happening here is, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Hanichali, don't daven and I'll destroy them. Now he wanted Moshe to draw out the Midas Harachamim. But it had to come from us, because as we describe, the drawing out the Midas Harachamim has to be our desire, our request, because we have to say, we know we want to do the job, but we're not even ready to do the job. We have a lot of training, so give us the training. It's one thing to give a person a job, but if the person doesn't want the job, so then no matter how much you train them, they'll never be ready for the job. They have to want the training. They have to want to be brought to the level. So it can't come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What can come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the offer of the job. But you know, with children, you can't force a person to want to do the job. It's worthless. That must be elicited from us. As long as HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees we want to get to a point where we can serve Hashem correctly, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives all bracha we can handle, all the situations, all the even nisyonos. So it has to come from Moshe. Hashem wanted Moshe to draw it out. That's the problem. So here Moshe then says, no. In Perek Lamed Dalet, Moshe says, you know, he says, you said, V'yomer Moshe, in Perek Pasuk Yud Beis, in chapter 33, you said, take this nation out of here. But you didn't tell me who you're going to send with me. So he says, the person you said you're sending with me, or the Malach, no, I can't take them out of here. So he's basically, I'm not taking them out of here yet. So he says, please, hodieni na estrachecha, teach me your drachim. Moshe's saying, there's another derech. Drachecha, it's not just one derech. There's another derech of rachamim. Teach me the midas harachamim. And look what Moshe said in Pasuk 15. Vayomer elav im ein panecha holchim, Al ta'aleinu mizeh. If your face, if your presence is not with us, don't bring us out of here. I'm not going. So Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rather, agrees to reveal to Moshe to bring to the world another modus operandi, the operation of rachamim. And he tells him in Perek Lamed Dalet 34 to basically reenact Har Sinai. It's going to be the same thing. Make for yourself new luchos. Write what was on the first. be prepared for the morning, just like our Sinai. Va'alisa baboker, come up the mountain in the morning, and wait for me there, nitaf tali shama rosh ahar, and stand waiting on the mount, head of the mount, top of the mountain, like our Sinai. And no one come up with you like our Sinai, and keep everything far away around the mountain like our Sinai. Pasuk 5, Vayered Hashem ba'anan, Hashem came down in a anan. And remember what we said about coming down, Hashem doesn't move from place to place. When a brilliant professor has to talk to a child and explain to them some basic elemental principle in mathematics, so the professor can't let loose with a discourse of the most complicated physics and the ramifications of 2 plus 2 is 4 in the big picture. He has to limit himself, or she, so tremendously to speak to the mind of a little child who doesn't quite get it yet. When it says Vayered, that's the type of Vayered we're speaking about. And somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu being able to be grasped by our limited minds. That's what the word Vayered, it applies to us. It has nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a descent into our level. Somehow a constriction somehow of the enormity of the MS to a point where human beings can actually get a piece of it. And what's supposed to happen when we get a little taste of that MS is there's supposed to dawn in us an awareness of the enormity of what we're not getting. How much more there is. That it's just a tiny glimpse. In any case, Vayered Hashem ba'anan. Vayavar Hashem al panav. Now Rashi says, Hashem appeared to him like a shaliach tzibur. A shaliach tzibur stands in front of the congregation and leads the congregation in the tefillah. Not everyone had a sitter. The minhag evolved that even the silent Shemoneh Esrei, they don't do silently. They all, the chazan leads and everybody says it together because they didn't have sidurim. So that was the job of a shaliach tzibur. And they all repeat it afterwards. To teach, he taught them, he led them in the tefillah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe, like a shliach tzibur, the 13 midas harachamim. Now, parallel to the chart, this is right in front of us, and we often just miss it completely. And Rav Nachum Liebtag points this out. He shows the parallel between the 13 midas harachamim and the Aseres HaDibros. Now, some of you might have heard this before, but it's always a good review. Vayavar Hashem al panav, vayikra, and he called out. Hashem called out. Now, what did we have in the Aseres HaDibros? What do we have here? Hashem, Hashem. Rashi says, Midas harachamim kodem hachet, before the sin, and Midas harachamim after the sin. That's Hashem, Hashem. Total change. So a person sinned, a person did a pesha, a still Midas harachamim, so I'll forgive you for it. What was in Aseres HaDibros? What are the next two words? Kel Kana, an intolerant God. Kel Rachum v'chanun. What is Rachmanis and what is the Midah of Chanun? So Rachmanis is not the same as Rachim and Chanun are not the same. Rachmanus is you see someone Nebuch who's crippled with no feet, so you feel bad for their pathetic situation, so you help them. Rachmanus is when the person outside of you evokes in you certain sympathy. But chanun, it comes from the word matnas chinam, it's free gift. They don't even know that they're pathetic. They don't even know that they need help. They're engaged in action that's so dangerous, like a child on the edge of a that you just saved their life. They didn't, right? So that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Rachum V'chana, not intolerant, but so tolerant, helps us, sees our situation, helps us, and we don't even realize our situation, constantly dying, another chance, constantly, you know, forgiving. And mostly, in the Moshe Cordovero wrote a sefer, the great Makubal, or the Ramak, called Tamar Dvorah on the 13 Midas Rachamim, the savlanus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the endless patience of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the children that constantly misuse the gifts, don't refuse to be educated, reject the education they're being trying to, you know, the instructions they're being given, and endless savlanus for the Chil Hashem that endless patience and forgiveness for the Chil Hashem we constantly make. So this is Racham Machanan is in place of Kelkana. Now, apayim is a midah. I didn't mention this before. Hashem said to Moshe, leave me alone, don't pray, vayichar api bam, and my Zion Ches Tesu. He basically said, don't pray, vayichar api, and my anger will burn against him. Instead of that midah of vayichar charon af, we have erech apayim. Now, you might remember. Huh? It's always avodah zarah, but more. Why is it the nose? Vayipach ba'apo nishmas chayim. Hashem blew the nisham into the nose. When it says vayichar af, Hashem doesn't have a nose and nostrils, and they're not flaring, and Hashem has no temper. Again, it's about us. Vayichar af means my nose will flare. When a person is furious, their nose flares, and they exhale. It's powerful, like the bull, raging bull, the exhale. The exhale means the imagery is that we are in danger of expelling our neshama that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew in through the nose. That's charon af, that the danger is absolute. If we deviate from Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yelecha, if we turn to anything else, we are expelling our neshama, which is ultimately, so to speak, disappointment for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a waste. Erech apayim is the opposite imagery. When a person is, you know, is upset, and say, calm down, count to ten, what do we do? You inhale slowly, right? You tolerate. You process it. But that's erech apayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tolerant, is patient, again and again and again, sometimes for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, sometimes a doros, generations. Hashem is patient. So that erech apayim is in place of charonaf. V'rav chesed be'emes, rav chesed be'emes, we will speak about an abundant chesed, which comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and emes. We will get to the word emes, very important. We're going to go a few minutes over here, unfortunately. Notzer chesed le'alafim. What was next in the Aseres HaDibros? Foked avon avos. Now, we're going to find that in the 13 minutes of Rachamim, slightly tweaked and not here at the end. It's displaced. Instead of Poked Avon Avos, we find Notzer Chesed Le'alafim. We find Notzer Chesed. What does it say in the Aseres HaDibros? Oseh Chesed Le'alafim. But there was a caveat, right? Only to Oavai L'shomer Mitzvosei. Here that's been replaced. Notzer is not Oseh. Notzer is cultivating, Yetzirah, forming it, not just doing it as a response, Midas Adin, you deserve it, but cultivating it where it doesn't even exist. Where it barely exists, where there's a tiny tipa and Hashem builds it into something more. Right? A person did a tiny little good thing and Hashem counts it to them as a great thing. That's notzer. He creates it and it doesn't say to those that love me, it's just a blanket statement, notzer chesed, for everybody. Then it says, you're following so far? No se avon bepesha vechata. What did it say in Mishpatim? Lo yisa. I will not bear them. What does it say? No say avon, I'll bear them. And not just your pesha, I'll bear your avon and your chet and your pesha. I'll bear all of it. That's the Mechiras Yosef, that's the Egel, and also, by the way, that's the Meraglim. I'll bear all of it. I'll bear all the sins. I will be no say instead of lo yisa, lepishachem. Okay? I will be no say. What did it say in the third Dibra? Ki lo yinake. What does it say here? Vinake. And I'll pardon you. Vilo yinake. But sometimes I won't pardon you. But often I'll pardon you. It says, Poked Avon Avos Al Banim. It doesn't say, Sonai. I will eventually punish the descendants if they keep on the sins of their fathers, because there has to be some din in the world. There has to be some emes in the world. But I won't consider them those that hate me. First of all, I consider them my enemies, but I have to bring din into the world, because that's the same thing. Rav Chesed, there's emes, lo yinake, I won't pardon sometimes, I will eventually punish, because all rachamim is a free-for-all. You can't have all rachamim, because then it's a huge chil Hashem, and it's all sheker, because everyone says, look, people are sinning, and nothing ever happens to them. So what does that mean? There's no God, obviously. There has to be emes. So there is some element of emes, but they're at the end. They're joined to chesed. They're the last resort. As soon as Moshe hears this reworking of the Midas Hadin, Midas HaChesed in operation, what does Moshe do? The next psukim, Pasuk Ches, V'yimaher Moshe quickly, he bows to the ground and he says, in the Matzasichem Benecha, Yelech na Hashem bekirbeinu, now you can come bekirbeinu among us. They are a stiff-necked people, and it's hard for them to get what's in their head. But you'll forgive us, and you will be our nachala. You will be our portion, and you will give us our portion. We will be bound together. Vayomer, now look what happens. Remember, he made a bris. He read Sefer HaBris on Nasa V'Nishma on the first. He says, Anochi Kores Bris. Now I'm going to be Kores Bris, a new bris. Not to totally replace the old bris. To be a bris between Hashem and Klal Yisrael as we develop to the point where we're capable of existing under the first bris, which is the real agenda, the real goal. I'm Kores Bris, and look what Moshe says, and here is the secret, the miracle of Jewish survival. The bris is that despite all our shortcomings, Hashem is still bound with all our sins to forgive us now and never reject us, never abandon us, never exchange us, constantly forgive us, constantly bring us back, constantly work only with Klal Yisrael at the ultimate, to be the Or L'Gayim and bring to the ultimate Geula. Only let us be the vehicle for this. So he says, now, Esen Niflos Asher Lo Nivro B'chol Aretz, great wonders will take place in all of the world, among all of the nations, and everyone will see, Atah B'kirbo, you are in our midst, Es Masa Hashem Ki Norahu, how awesome are the works of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I am going to do with you. In other words, Moshe understood that not just will this nation come to Eretz Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they'll be forgiven, but the people will survive. Chazal say on the word Nora, if not for the Mida of Nora, if not for the Mora of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the word they use, how could 70 nations, one nation survive, one lamb survive among 70 wolves? They say that the miracle of Jewish survival, and we spoke about this with the Aron, remember, Vayhi ben Soha Aron, Nora Aron, remember that, with the upside down nuns? Well, the Chazal say that it's the midah of the awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that allows for the survival of Klal Yisrael through the generations, the forgiveness of all the sins, the refusal to exchange Klal Yisrael, even though Hashem sometimes has to be fierce with us. But nevertheless, we will survive, we will reestablish ourselves, and we will come to be the vehicle of the purpose of creation. Moshe understood this. That the future of Klal Yisrael till the end of days was secured under this bris. So the 13 Midos Harachamim are what Moshe invoked then by Meraglim. He said the 13 Midos Harachamim, and Hashem said, Salachti Kidvarecha. So the 13 Midos Harachamim, we have to understand, as the endless, endless patience and forgiveness and understanding and tolerance and savlanus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with Klal Yisrael as we progress towards the ultimate goal. But there has to be one condition. It has to be in order to progress. Not just, I goofed, forgive me, and then I goofed, and forgive me, and I'm never going anywhere. I'm not going forward. If we understand that the concept of Pesha and it's all to go forward, then it's all worth it. I want to add one last point. Ata bechar banu mikol ha'amin. Ahavta osanu v'ratzisa banu. Bash bechira. We've spoken about this too. Bechira is choosing. I chose you from the other nations. That is Pesach. Okay. It's very nice that we were better than the other nations, right? Did we say this last week?
No.
It's better though. It's very nice. We were better than the other nations. But who exactly was in the running? Who were the candidates? The Canaanim. Okay. The people that killed their children, the people, I mean, who was the Mitzrayim? Who were there? So it's a statement of, you know, of a certain degree of excellence, but it's not the ultimate. However, Shavuos comes, by the way, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to choose one nation today from all the nations, I don't think there's any other candidates besides Klal Yisrael anyway, even today. And certainly after everything we went through, there's no candidates. There's nobody. So, what about Shavuos? Shavuos is Ahavta Osanu. You loved us. But look at the love of Shavuos. It was Ava Shataluya Badavar. Like Pirkei Avos says, it's Ava, that's dependent on something. You keep the bris, beautiful, everything, but you deviate an iota, even an intellectual error, something, an egel, violation of the second dibra, zero tolerance. Everything is destroyed. The whole thing is ruined. All Yisrael v'Yoraisa v'Kutcha Brichu. That's Ava Shatluya V'Dover. It's not the highest Madrega. The highest Madrega is Yom Kippur, which leads directly to Sukkot. And that's Ras Tzisa Banu. You had a Ratzon. You love Klal Yisrael from your gut, from your core. You trust them. You know they can succeed. You have faith in them, therefore you will never exchange them, no matter how low they fall. You will bring them back. You promise in the Tzavim, and the last of the bris, the final seal of the bris, Bal Yidach Mimeno Nidach, you won't let anyone be ultimately cast away as soon as they want to come back. The worst Russia, you will gather them back as soon as they want to come back. So that is pure Ratzon, pure gut desire for Klal Yisrael above and beyond any rationalizations. That is what Moshe achieved in Yom Kippur. And that's why you see right after Yom Kippur what happens. Yom Kippur is the second Luchos. We have the second Luchos. The whole thing, it comes back together. The second Luchos, the Anane HaKavod come back. We are Hashem's Am Segula one more time. And Parshas Truma, which really comes, many say, after the Egel. V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. Build me a mikdash and I'll come dwell among you. So everything is restored. And that's why we celebrate Sukkot after Yom Kippur and not after Pesach. It's the return of the Anane HaKavod. The only thing that we have to know is, if we depend on the 13 Midos HaRachamim, then if that's the way Hashem conducts himself with us, that is the way we are bound to conduct ourselves with each other, with all the Midos HaRachamim, endless forgiveness and overlooking and patience and not standing on ceremony, endless, without limit. To go into Yom Kippur still annoyed at someone for whatever is connected the 13 Midos HaRachamim. Everyone must forgive everyone for everything. Otherwise, what's the point of the 13 Midos HaRachamim? Of saying that and asking Hashem for forgiveness. And by the way, the sukkah, and with this we'll end, the sukkah is always, the mitzvahs of sukkah remind us of the inclusion of everyone, the tolerance and love of everyone. The lulav, right, the tzaddik with the esrog, the rasha, with the Hadassim and the Aravas, the kids learn it in school. Yeah. Right? Everyone together. Remember the movie they did, Ushpizin? Yeah. And remember that they had these two ice forests in their sukkah? Yeah. The reason they did this on sukkah is it's a basic yidia in our machshava, to bring the lowest into the sukkah, the most degenerate into the sukkah. Because the sukkah stavet hanofelis, that's Mashiach, that's the base of Mikdash, the sukkah of Gan Eden, which is also described as a sukkah. We want a Kaddish Baruch Hu to gather in everybody into that sukkah. I forgot who, there's a Hasidish Rebbe that would bring in every lowlife in the neighborhood, and they said, well, that's what you're doing with the sukkah. You're sitting in a makam kodesh, play the holy place, and you bring in all the chalarias. And he said, exactly, because I want a Kaddish Baruch Hu to bring me also into his sukkah. That's the sukkah is when we understand that nobody in Klal Yisrael is unsalvageable. None of our friends or our neighbors, whoever hurt us, no one's not salvageable. People made a mistake, so they goofed, so they thought about themselves first, so they were selfish. So what? We all are, all the time. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly forgives us, so the main avodah is to go into Yom Kippur, from being mochel, everyone, for everything, from whenever, so that we can truly say the 13 Midos HaRachamim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deal with us the same way and give us a new opportunity to once again become the people that we hoped we would be. Okay, everyone, have a good Yom Kippur. A meaningful Yom Kippur.